Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm joined in studio by Dis-Chem Linksfield at the neighborhood, David Kahn. And I got to say also, Craig Guthrie, our controller, looking very, very fresh with that haircut. And David, you as well. I think this is the good Monday morning hair crew.
So, good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you. Thank you for coming through. We're going to be chatting all things hydration, one of my favorite topics, because it really does affect everything in our day-to-day life. You know, from the entire body to our joint health to nutrient transportation to cognitive function, just I think also probably mood, digestion, all of these things. So we're going to be chatting with David about that, touching on those points. Let us have your questions about hydration on 061-895-1019. And one of the things I just realized in our discussion beforehand, it's not just the hydration level, it's the electrolyte level. So that's what's coming up for you in today's show.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday on 101.9 High FM. I'm your host, Nicholas Ingle, and I'm joined in studio by Dis-Chem's David Kahn, all the way from Linksfield. Dave, thanks for coming.
Good morning, Nick. Great to be here again.
Yeah. Great to have you again. So we're going to be chatting hydration, and can you just start us off?
Yes.
What are the important aspects about hydration?
Our miraculous human bodies are composed of 60 to 65% water.
Right.
Now, having that balance, because we are a soup of chemicals, every single function in the human body depends upon electrolytes. And if the concentration of those electrolytes is not right, we malfunction. Starting with the digestive tract, we can either get constipation or diarrhea from it. Continuing in the digestive tract, having the wrong sodium chloride balance in the body can affect how our stomachs produce acid. At a cellular level, getting nutrients in and out of our cells depends upon that balance. Having fluid to bring food and nutrients to the cells, having fluid to remove waste from those cells, digestive tract via the kidneys, via the blood system, everything depends upon that concentration of fluid. It's normally in balance. However, as humans, we like to avoid and abuse, and that results in imbalances, consuming too much caffeine can result in dehydration. Alcohol can result in dehydration. Exercise, not having the right hydration during exercise, can affect that. So it's everything that should be instinctively happening within our bodies, but sometimes we interfere with it and we cause damage.
Right. So to start off on one of the myths, if we can debunk this, with a lot of the clients that we work with, particularly in the corporate world, we chat to them and say, like, okay, how much water do you drink a day? You know, just trying to get a baseline for that. And the response usually comes like, well, I don't really drink a lot of water. I drink tea or coffee or a couple of cool drinks. What's the difference between water and tea, coffee, cool drinks, fruit juices, these other things?
Water is pure flush out without anything else added. So if you're drinking 8 cups of coffee in the day, you are getting 8 cups of water. However, you are getting a lot of other future waste products within that.
Right.
So it's causing a buildup of waste in your system. You do need to be consuming water to allow your body to balance and flush out.
Right.
And to run at optimal health.
So how much water? Do we rate this on, you know, sort of season, body weight, height, lifestyle? What's a good yardstick?
The yardstick is to have a look at your urine.
Okay.
If it's not yellow,
yeah,
you're doing well.
Right.
If it's yellow and it's dark, you need to be drinking more water.
The body's a lot smarter than we are, right? It'll tell us.
Yes.
How soon in the day should we start drinking?
First thing in the morning.
When you wake up,
the first thing you do, preferably before having that morning pee, is have a glass of water.
Right. I get that, because also you've been dehydrated for 8, 6, 9 hours.
Yes. There was a stage in my life where I used to weigh myself at bedtime and in the morning.
Yes.
And the difference was about 800 to 900 grams.
Sure.
That's nearly a liter. Is moisture lost through respiration during your sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
So an interesting point you made there, and chatting to Brian at the Bluebird Discam.
Yes.
He convinced me, because especially with the dryness, to get a humidifier.
Yes.
And I've been running a humidifier at night, and I've never slept so well. And I've woken up with a much clearer head in the morning. So with that, you know, our air is dry, so that's causing us to lose a lot of moisture.
We're losing a lot of moisture, yes. And having dry membranes results in mucus buildup in your respiratory tract.
Right. And that was from our discussion.
Yes.
So, you know, if your nose is dry, there's a problem.
Yes.
So it's all of these wonderful indicators that our body gives us.
Yes, yes. So
can we touch on some of the functions that water does within our bodies? What are the important ones?
The importance of water?
Yeah. What are the functions that water is involved in? So we touched on digestion, you know, we have cognitive function, joints.
I mean, it's allowing for absorption of foodstuffs across the digestive system.
Right.
It's allowing for the blood circulation system to function properly, which is distributing your foods to your cells and your waste products out of the body via the blood system, via the liver, into the digestive tract, via the kidneys, into the urine, via the lymphatic system that pours waste into the blood, which allows that to be cleared via the digestive tract.
Right. So that darker urine that we were talking about earlier, that's the stuff the body's trying to get rid of.
Yes.
So darker urine is a higher concentration of that.
Correct.
And then is that a greater load on our kidneys?
It is a greater load if it is more concentrated. It is putting a strain on the system.
Right.
Yes.
It's like having your inbox on your desk and not having the support to clear it out in time. Your work keeps piling up and up and up.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
So trying to get work done at your desk, and your clients or your customers are all coming and knocking on your door.
Yeah, it's a buildup of spam and junk and everything. Yeah, in the kidneys in the liver
that we need to clear out.
Yes.
Let's talk about cognitive function, because I found for myself personally, this is the greatest thing for me. That normally I wake up in the morning, I want to grab a cup of coffee because I'm a little bit tired. You know, it's 4 o'clock, but I find if I have water and then delay the coffee for 30, 40 minutes, I feel much better for the rest of the day. So what does water do in terms of helping us wake up and our brain function?
It's an initial increase in blood volume. It helps restore that water loss that's happened during the night. So it's a wake-up. It's a wake-up to your systems.
So if you have kids going to school, you should be, everybody should be drinking water as a priority in the morning.
It's starting with a rinse cycle.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Talking about cognitive function, I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine who's in cardiac failure at the moment.
Oh.
And he's been in hospital. He's carrying about an extra 20 kilograms of water, which is extracellular water in his body. Right. And he's obviously in a bit of mental distress because of what he's going through. I mean, mentally, if you look at him, you wouldn't think he's ill.
Right.
And he was given certain tranquilizers to calm him down, but the next thing he started hallucinating. And over the last 2 weeks, he was in hospital and he was losing about 400 to 500 mL they were managing to squeeze off. But eventually, last week, they discharged him from hospital. Basically, there's not more they can do for him.
Right.
And he was describing me yesterday these vivid hallucinations he was having. And now that his fluid level has come down, he's not having those hallucinations anymore. But he's still managing to take the tranquilizers, and actually it's working as a tranquilizer now.
Okay.
So it can affect how drugs work in our bodies as well.
Sure. So was he overhydrated?
He wasn't. Well, because of him fluid. Being in cardiac failure,
yes.
He's building up fluid outside his cells.
Okay.
So it's fluid retention.
Right.
His kidneys are under strain.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So the right balance is vital.
Absolutely.
How do we tell if we have the right electrolyte balance? So we're saying fluid, the water amount because of our urine color, is that also an indicator of electrolyte balance?
Yes, but if you're exercising or if you have certain medical conditions, certain tumors in the body can affect electrolyte balance via your pituitary gland system, you would start having symptoms. It could be muscle cramping, could be weakness, loss of cognitive function. Your muscles would almost seize up if your sodium levels go too low.
Yes.
You become very immobile. Potassium levels affect the way the heart functions.
Right. So we've seen that with athletes in sport that need to cut weight for a weigh-in, and they water load, so an extra 3-4 liters for a couple of days leading up to the event, and then 12 to 24 hours prior to the event, they cut the water.
Yes.
So they pass out all of the fluid, and they're not replenishing it to try and drop weight, but then halfway into the competition, they're cramping up terribly in yes. their quads, in their hamstrings, in their lats. So that's an indicator that they're not getting in the right sort of sodium levels.
Yes.
So what's a good way then in that type of situation to, I don't want to use the brand name, rehydrate, but how do you get those salt levels back up, and how do you know that you're not overdoing it?
If you're overdoing it, your body would...
Just pee it up, pass it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's various forms of electrolyte replacements in the form of fizzy tablets. Your salt tablets, they contain potassium, sodium, calcium.
Right. So we'll get back to that
yes.
right after this ad. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having regular wellness checkups, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday here live on 101.9 High FM. I'm joined in studio by David Kahn from Dis-Chem. We're chatting all things hydration. I'm learning a great deal, and we'd like to get your questions and comments. You can WhatsApp them to 061-895-1019. We were chatting about electrolyte levels and rehydration before we went to the break. We were saying, how do we tell if we're over salted, like a pastrami, then basically our bodies will just get rid of it. If we're under salted, then we can cramp. Putting that very basically.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Right. Yes.
What are the other roles that the right electrolyte balance in the body, those roles, what do they play?
With nervous transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So the messages get your nervous system functions properly. The circuitry works properly.
Right.
Your blood vessels, they have muscles that control the tension on those blood vessels, which affects your blood pressure.
Right.
So if your electrolyte balance is wrong, your calcium, potassium, which reacts according to your body's balancing systems, and that determines how much constriction there is of blood or relaxation there is of blood vessels.
Right.
So everything is critically balanced between water and the salts in our system.
Okay.
Putting it in as simple terms as possible.
Right. So we were touching on, sort of there's powders, there's capsules, there's effervescent or salt capsules.
Yes.
What are some of the products that are available that people can use?
Your sports replacement supplements, right. Your energy drinks. There are some purely electrolyte-based products without the sugars,
yes.
Like the salt tabs,
mm-hmm.
Magnesium supplementation, SlowMag, etc.
Right.
There's a variety of products out there for that. Your anti-cramping products are formulations of sodium, potassium, magnesium, mostly.
Right.
So if people are struggling with night cramps, restless legs when they're sleeping, mm-hmm. they can supplement with those products. The right. simplest to start with would be CalMag, which is calcium and magnesium, before hitting the real salts.
Right.
And it takes a few days to see if it's going to be a positive effect or not.
Okay. How does this play a role in headaches and in migraines? Hydration and good salt balance.
There must be a direct effect on that as well, because of how it affects every system in the body.
Right. So it sort of does the brain shrink if we get dehydrated?
your cerebrospinal fluid
yeah.
is reliant upon hydration as well. So yes, and your cerebrospinal fluid is a cushioning fluid for the nervous system.
Right.
And it manages delivery of nutrients and removal of waste from the system as well. So there's a constant flow of that in and out of the system.
Right. So and if we look at sort of short-term effects, right, that can just be on energy, how we're feeling, but is it the long-term effects, is it extra wear and tear on the system if you're not giving it the hydration that it needs
Correct.
Over your lifetime?
Yes, yes. You could probably relate it to a car engine that's running with not enough oil in the system.
You
Eventually
mean
you're going to damage.
I was going to mention a certain Italian car brand that many of us had when we were young, sort of your older Alphas, because even if you put the oil in, it would just end up on the garage floor.
Yes, but Alphas and Fiat. My first was a Fiat, a very old one.
It was an 85 Alpha Spider, so it was fantastic, but you drove around with extra oil.
Yes.
So
That's
quite a, that's a good point. Do we carry, we should carry water with us?
To consume during the day?
Yeah.
That's become a trend.
Right.
And
okay.
I often think back to our youth, how we used to go on holidays with my parents, and we would drive from Port Elizabeth to Durban or Port Elizabeth to Johannesburg. And
right.
We never carried bottles of water. I can't remember what we drank.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a trend then.
It was tea and coffee in those plaid thermos flasks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as a child, we weren't really consuming tea and coffee. So
yes. Yeah. Oros?
Maybe. I just don't remember the abundance of water being around like we see these days with people.
Yes.
Everybody's walking. So often you see people walking and carrying a water bottle.
Yeah.
And Yeah.
So, I mean, just on that point, how, with hydration, how do we hydrate during the day? I mean, are we just monitoring our urine? We get in a lot of water in the morning, you know, a glass or two, and then we just check the color throughout the day and then top up as we need to.
It should be instinctive habit, really.
Right.
It shouldn't really require a lot of thinking.
Yes.
But we get distracted.
Yeah.
We exercise. We come back. We don't consume enough water at the end of that.
Right.
I remember in the 1980s, early 80s, when I started running seriously, I used to go out on the weekend and run 20, 21 Ks,
sure.
straight out and straight back without consuming any water. And then one day I bought Tim Noakes's book, The Law of Running.
Yes.
And I suddenly realized what damage I was potentially doing to my system by forcing my heart to pump such sludge instead
of
blood through my vessels.
Right.
And I would come back and, yes, I would drink during the rest of the day, but feel very lightheaded.
Right.
If you stand up, you feel dizzy because of its orthostatic hypertension, your blood volume's down. And then, it was pretty life-changing, just that chapter in the book.
About the writer.
But I had to read it.
Yes.
It wasn't instinct. As if we were an animal, we'd stop for a drink.
Yes. We have our time
human,
at the water hole.
We're running against the watch.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
We're focusing on everything else other than ourselves and what our body's trying to tell us. So just with the running, would you drink before running? Before, during, and after.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're drinking in moderation, it's difficult to overdrink. You know, you're not downing a liter and a half at a time.
Yeah. If you do that, you're going to have lots of pit stops.
Yes.
Yeah. And making it a habit, if you go from a pattern of not having enough hydration and you suddenly up your volume, you'll find that you're having to pass a lot more urine than normal.
Right.
And then it'll balance out and you start perspiring properly.
Right.
And that balance.
Okay. So I've noticed that with some of the older members of our community, particularly men, that they reduce their water intake because they don't want to go to the bathroom because they have difficulty walking.
Yes.
So how problematic is that? I mean, then you're really loading an older system.
It's a challenge of the aging process.
Right.
Because not only the difficulty in not wanting to get up and walk, but also bladder control.
Yes.
Prostate function, incontinence. Mm. People struggle with that, and if people are mobile, elderly, and active, the incontinence products can be quite expensive to buy.
Right.
And so there are products for bladder control, which can help.
Right.
But once again, as we do age, it is more common to decrease fluid intake.
Okay.
Yes. So it's a bit of a catch-22 because it can accelerate the demise of our systems.
Yes. Are these things in terms of keeping that system healthy, that good hydration throughout our lifetime can help extend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it is. It's about what we're doing now for quality of life later.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever had sort of people arguing with you, coming in with cramps, coming in with indicators of dehydration and not wanting to drink? They're saying, I can't drink water, I don't like the taste, it's a problem.
A lot of people say that, I can't drink water, I've got to drink a fizzy drink.
Yes.
It's got to be flavored.
Yeah.
I have difficulty understanding that because water, good quality water, is pretty tasteless.
Yes.
It's refreshing as it goes down. I don't understand why people need to have the fizz or the sweetness, the artificial sweetness, which is, once again, damaging to the system, in my opinion.
Right, yeah. So if we look at joint health and the skeletal system, how does water affect that? I mean, from joint pain and aches and so on.
Hydration affects the consistency of your joint fluids, your synovial fluids. It affects the functionality of the cartilage, which is what helps joints articulate smoothly.
Right. So the cartilage is affected by the amount of...
Yes, and sure. If you have a buildup of waste in the body, particularly uric acid, which leads to gout, you have crystals forming within your joints, and those crystals are extremely sharp and abrasive, and as your joints are moving, you are grinding away at your cartilage, which leads to gouty tophi, as they call it. I've had some personal experience of being in surgical cases for orthopedics.
Right.
And it's quite nightmarish when you realize how damaging gout can be.
When you see it.
Yes. Right, people think that it's just a painful sore toe that they need to take a bit of colchicine for when they have pain, or a bit of anti-inflammatory. But those anti-inflammatories can result in fluid retention.
Right.
Affect your blood pressure and just mask the symptoms of gout.
And gout's an indicator of not balancing the system.
Somehow your system's out of balance. Yes, right. It can be dietary, but ultimately hydration is what assists in excreting uric acid from your system.
Right. So touching on kidney function now and with water, I know sometimes with chatting to people where they've had backache, I think I've experienced this once or twice before myself, maybe too much coffee, too much training, too much running around, not enough water in the day. You wake up, you think you have backache, but it turns out to be the kidneys.
Yes.
That are, so how important, I mean, I know that's, the kidneys need water to flush.
Yes.
But if we can just touch on that, I mean, the processes and why water is so vital.
Your kidneys are regulating so many systems in the body, particularly blood pressure.
Right.
They need water to help your body get rid of wastes.
Yes.
If you don't have water, you can't excrete.
Okay. And then
if you don't have the right electrolytes, your kidneys can't function properly.
Right. So that's when everything starts to get problematic.
Yes.
And if your kidneys are hurting, then it's really a problem.
Yes, yes.
So.
And a lot of drugs can result in dehydration and also fluid retention. So that's something to touch on as well.
Yes.
Is that those classes of drugs.
All right, let's cover that, the fluid retention and medication.
Because
for me, what I find if I have a big sushi night,
yes,
and there's a lot of soy sauce, I feel quite bloated for the next couple of hours, and I wake up puffy the next day, feeling puffy.
What is a big sushi night? How much sushi?
25 plates. It's not often. It's not often, but it happens.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So it could honestly be, I mean, probably, I'd say 200 to 250 mils of soy sauce.
Wow. Okay. So that's a lot of sodium.
It's a lot
of
sodium.
A serious sodium overdose.
Yeah, it's a proper sodium overdose. Yeah.
I don't know if there's MSG added to soy sauce as well, because
I'm quite sure there's MSG.
So some of the soy sauces, if it is MSG, that can result in what they describe as MSG syndrome, where you'll wake up and your heart will be racing.
Okay. I feel more like I have a hangover, sort of dehydrated and puffy and blurry and slow.
Wow.
So at 4 in the morning, it's not fun. So I have drastically reduced the big sushi nights.
Okay.
Probably better. You know, I think what I've realized as well is if I'm not waking up, I'm not feeling good, then it's an indicator that what I did the day before or the past few days is something I should rather remove from my lifestyle.
Yes.
Because that's my gift of being an alcoholic. I mean, sober for 17 years. Waking up for so long with a hangover, the joy of not being hungover is, it's the most, you know, waking up normally is such a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Maybe we can touch on alcohol after we talk about the bloating.
Yes.
And that fact. Okay. So what is the fluid retention?
What is?
Fluid retention, and so what are some of the medications that affect
your cortisones can cause fluid retention.
Is that where people see that as weight gain? Like
they would see it as weight gain, but they would notice swelling around the ankles.
Right.
Or, mostly around the ankles because it does gravitate down towards the feet.
Okay.
But then that could be a sign of cardiac function issues as well.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So your cortisones, certain antibiotics like your prednisones, mm-hmm. I mean your tetracyclines, tetralysol, doxycycline, Perbac, used to be known as Bactrim.
Mm-hmm.
Those all require, they can cause retention of fluid.
Right.
But it's also important to be drinking fluid, water, to flush that, keep those, okay. Yes, while you're taking them.
So physiologically, yes. What is fluid retention? How does that take place in the body, just within the cells?
It can be caused by drugs, mm-hmm. because of how the drugs can affect your hormone systems.
Okay.
They can affect the electrolyte balance, and your body, instead of your kidneys clearing the fluid,
mm.
there's an excess of fluid in the body. The kidneys aren't functioning right, so it can't be in your blood vessels. So your blood vessels leak it out into your intracellular spaces.
Okay.
So that's why you get that buildup of fluid.
Right. So, and this is it's why it's vital to talk to your pharmacist.
Yes.
About the medication.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, not just take it and take three and
yes.
What do you need to modify within your lifestyle around it?
You've got to exercise, you've got to drink the fluids. Mm. Your two currently popular drugs that can cause fluid retention is your amphetamine,
right.
5 ounce, which people are taking in great numbers mm-hmm. these days when it's available.
Right.
Ozempic as well.
Mm.
The weight loss, the anti-diabetic drug which people are using for weight loss, although they're losing weight, it can cause them to have fluid retention.
Right. And that, I suppose then people want to reduce their fluid intake because yes. they don't want to feel yes. bloated. They want yes. to look thinner.
Yes.
So
it's a catch-22.
Right.
You got to get that balance back.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the best way of doing that is by diet. And there are diets either to increase or to decrease electrolytes in your system.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have a, before we go back and touch on alcohol, we have a question here from Carol K. What does Nicholas think about collagen? So I think I'd rather defer to the professional in the room, which is you.
Yes.
So the question is, what do we think about collagen? I'm going to assume in terms of hydration or dehydration.
Collagen as a supplement is something that is highly neglected by society.
Yeah.
It's critically important for the health of all of our connective tissue,
yeah.
which is bone health, joint health, elasticity of skin, and hydration is affected by collagen levels in the body as well.
Right.
Hydration affects the health of your collagen in the body.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a balance as well. So in part of that hydration system maintenance, should one be looking at taking collagen as a supplement?
It's a very important supplement, yes. Okay.
Here's a question. Is there kosher collagen?
There are kosher collagens, yes.
900,000 rand a gram.
I know that out of Thailand you're getting collagens coming which are derived from fish sources.
Ah.
And those are kosher certified.
Right. Okay, fantastic. We'll touch on that as soon as we're back from these ad breaks.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. We're about 20 minutes out from 11 o'clock. My name is Nicholas Engel, and you're on 101.9 High FM. I'm joined in studio by David Kahn from Dis-Chem, and we're chatting all things hydration. We had a question earlier from Carol about collagen. We have another one now. I'm not sure if it's a question or a statement. Intermittent eat can also hurt your body. I think it's referring to intermittent fasting. Is it good for you or bad for you? And I think we were chatting off air. We said really it's down to, does it work for you as an individual?
I think if you're going to be disciplined enough in your lifestyle to intermittent fast,
yes,
it's not harmful.
Right. And that putting that little bit of load or strain on the body as well can also keep you fired up.
And you aren't denying yourself water during intermittent fasting.
Yes.
While you're intermittent fasting, you aren't eating food, but you would be drinking water, which is ultimately flushing waste out of your system.
Right. So you're not putting more waste in from eating, and you're giving your body a chance to get rid of it by staying hydrated.
It's a resting, cleansing process. Okay. Yes, and a disciplinary process to force your body not to desire food.
Yes. I intermittent fast between courses.
So I would agree with that. I've never tried to intermittent fast.
So it doesn't work for me. I'm happier and more energized in the day by having breakfast. And I suppose it comes back to the point, listen to what your body's telling you, right?
Yes, so absolutely. Dead right.
So we were touching on the collagen and its value and some kosher collagen coming from Thailand. I'm going to definitely check that out. Bone broth soups, also good.
Also very good. Yeah. Very, very healthy.
Right. Yes. So you've got to go and get some soup bones and boil them up.
Yes.
Skim the top and have your bone broth. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's slightly healthier than your packet soups, which are...
Oof, yeah.
MSG, flavorants, salts, thickeners.
Yep. Absolutely. Or every Shabbos table knows the packet noodles and the cabbage with the soy sauce and the flavoring. Yeah. It's delicious, but yeah. So, chatting about alcohol. How damaging is alcohol to our hydration system? And, you know, 200 years ago, 100 years ago, when water was a big risk to drink, they drank beer because it was a way of clearing the water. But it was a much lower alcohol content. It was a much clearer product. How challenging is alcohol?
Alcohol is becoming a problem in our society, even within the Jewish community. The youth tend to be consuming a lot more alcohol than was traditionally the norm.
Yes.
And if it's not controlled, it can be very damaging to health.
Right.
Yes. Alcoholism, which is your...
Is me.
Your knowledge and speciality, but just the chronic abuse, low-key abuse...
Mm.
Or binge weekend drinking, which hammers the system, it dehydrates the system.
If you so you're talking about a binge weekend, and I know for myself, I'm a binge drinker. So I could go a substantial amount of time without drinking. If I had more than two beers, then I was in for the evening and it was going to be a binge. That was sort of my tipping point. But if a very big weekend, for me, 20 drafts in one sitting. At the end of my drinking life, can you hyper dehydrate the body, where it takes time to rehydrate?
Yes,
more over days or weeks or
yes, it takes time to recover because you're hammering your kidneys.
Right.
Yes.
And the more you do that, the more you're taking, you're revving that engine without servicing it or maintaining it.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So I think that's something to consider. When we're young, we feel great. It's fine. We recover a lot better. But as we get older, we can then potentially, you know, you're married, you've got kids, you may have grandkids, and then you want to be around and you're paying the price for how you lived and not listening to your body earlier on.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So is there anything else on the hydration side that you'd like to touch on that you feel people should know about?
I think we've pretty much covered everything.
Okay.
Yes.
So if we're looking at sort of, diuretics, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, the major medical treatments that people are going through, how does that have an effect on one's hydration?
Once again, they've got to keep the fluid flowing.
Yeah.
You've got to keep hydrated. Those therapies can affect hydration levels. The tumors themselves can affect electrolyte balance, which affects hydration.
Right.
Yes.
So, and then often you see someone who's not well in hospital, they'll have a cup with a straw and they'll sip as they go. myself personally, I tend to drink 500 mils in a go or a liter in a go, which I'm not a baseline for anyone.
Yes.
What's the most appropriate way to hydrate the body in the morning and then throughout the course of the day?
To have a constant flow depending upon your level of activity.
Right.
It has to be customized mm-hmm. according to your needs.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's small amounts of water throughout the course of the day, or sort of a liter at lunch, a liter at dinner, a liter. Or if it works for you, it works for you.
Yes, you got to find your nirvana.
Yeah. And I think that's such a valid point, and we've touched on it a few times, where everybody's body is different. Whether it's genetically, lifestyle, all of these things coming together, that what works for one might not work for other, but we have to listen to our bodies.
Yes. And for those people that are having certain therapies that cause dehydration, a lot of the symptoms result in dry mouth.
Yes.
And dry mouth results in deterioration of dental health.
Okay.
Because without saliva, your teeth aren't getting nurtured as your body should be nurturing them.
Right.
So for that, there are products available, artificial salivas or products that you can, in the form of pastilles or sprays or liquid, that you can rinse the mouth out to assist in keeping it hydrated.
Okay. So if you are, can you have dry mouth and still be hydrated?
You can because of the drugs medication. Yes.
Okay. So that's something just to keep in mind then.
Yes.
Okay. If you're not on medication and you're getting a dry mouth, then it's an indicator that you need to look at your hydration.
Or you might have allergy-related issues where you are mouth breathing instead of nose breathing.
Right. That was my next question, because I know sometimes with sinuses, I wake up in the morning with a blocked nose prior to getting my humidifier with a blocked nose and a very, very dry mouth.
Yes.
I can't even speak of it highly enough, which we'll do after this ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. My name is Nicholas Engel, and I'm joined in studio by David Kahn from Dis-Chem. We're chatting all things hydration. We've got a few minutes left. If you have any questions, please let us have them on our WhatsApp number, 061-895-1019. What are some of your fun hydration or dehydration stories that you could share, maybe from the running days? And, I suppose one of the best hydration stations during the Comrades is Shlomo Weiner's Chabad with the tefillin.
Yes.
You stop and have a drink and get your tefillin put on, which is fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
So any fun stories?
No, it was just a harsh wake-up call to me regarding that. Yes. The one time a company approached me with a new product range.
Right.
And they were sprays that you were supposed to consume on the run.
Okay.
And I ran a marathon. And they said, you just use these sprays and water, nothing else.
Right.
And you will fly. And by the time I got to about the 18-kilometer mark, I was wiped out.
Right. Sure.
I was reduced to walking. And at the next refreshment station, and in a marathon it's every 3 kilometers, I downed 2 Cokes.
Sure.
And within 5 minutes, I was normalized and flying.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I know.
Never try anything new on the day.
Never try
an
anything
important event.
So, I think it's a famous thing that golfers say, you adjust your swing at the driving range, not on the golf course.
Yes.
So that's, you never try anything new on the day.
Yes.
The one thing that's always fascinated with me with a lot of the professional sports teams that we get to work with, their favorite on-field drink is a 50-50 Coke water mix. So a liter of Coke, liter of water, and they'll drink that.
That was pretty much a South African discovery in the running fraternity.
Right.
That Coca-Cola became Coke and water 50%. Yes.
Is something because it's giving you the hydration.
That's what became my routine on over the half marathon distance.
Right.
Was at every refreshment station to take 50-50 Coke and water. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you think that works? So just the sugars and then enough water?
Yes, it's a balance of energy and water. So yes.
Which is exactly what we need to look at.
Yes.
So I think that's been a great show, Dave, really. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's been great, Binya. And I think that a lot of people who've struggled with flu this year and post-flu symptoms have not focused on their hydration levels during and after having flu.
Right. So they should up their levels and make sure that your pee, your urine, is clear.
Yes.
That's the
indicator. And your mucus is thin.
I cannot stress enough how much that humidifier has changed my life. And I drink a lot of water. And I get my water in first thing. But it was absolutely a complete and utter game changer for me. So, now again, it's really lovely to have you in studio. We're looking forward to having you back. Thank you. You've been listening to 101.9 High FM. This was your Dis-Chem Medical Monday. My name is Nicholas Ingle. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're looking forward to having you join us next week and staying with us now.